Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we take a look at the way we elect judges with Ken Fehrenbach. He's the president of the State Bar Association. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Scott Bensing and Bob Berengo. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
You're driving along, and out of nowhere, boom, there's a billboard. Free fruitcake plus a pooch equals a health insurance plan for just $29.99.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
Plus some tax.
1,400 teachers and school workers facing September layoffs. Then Harry Reid got emergency aid to keep them teaching. But Sharon Angle would have voted no.
I think the emergency is only in Harry Reid's mind.
It's the same Sharon Angle who'd eliminate the Department of Education.
Eliminate the Department of Education or simply cut it back?
I would like to go through to the elimination.
Teacher layoffs, no Department of Education. She's just too extreme.
I'm Harry Reid, and I approve this message.
Is your child happy in school? There is another way. Bluefield Prep is a values-driven college preparatory school for grades 3 through 12 that offers affordable instruction completely online and puts the power to direct your child's education back in your hands. Whether your child needs to be more challenged or your child needs more time than a traditional classroom allows, Bluefield Prep has a solution to fit. Call today to receive the free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education. Join thousands of other families who are taking control of their child's education by discovering online education. Bluefield Prep offers a fully accredited academic program overseen by a team of qualified, caring instructors. Bluefield Prep even offers an early college option that can save thousands in college tuition. So call the number below today for your free pamphlet, A Parent's Guide to Online Education, with no obligation, or go online to bluefieldprep.com. Every child deserves to be happy in school, so don't wait. Call Bluefield Prep now. You'll be glad you did.
Which brings me to my world, radio. Kick it! Swindle Frog Ripoff ain't no jive. You get a year's worth of free fruitcake, a pooch, and a family health insurance plan for just $29.95.
A reenactment not far from the truth. Question the company and their plan.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program Cam Fehrenbach. He's the president of the State Bar Association of Nevada, also a lawyer with Lionel Sawyer and Collins. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you.
And you have a year at the helm of the Nevada Bar, and in a year, can you accomplish major things, or is your job just to kind of maintain status quo?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say maintain status quo. We do have a line of succession in our organization. Like, my president-elect has already been picked, and she will succeed me. So we work together, you know, at least over that two-year period, and I was working with our predecessor. So we try to be organized. It's not, I'll do my thing one year, and then somebody else does their thing the next.
Let me talk to you about the hot-button issue for the state's lawyers, which is how we're going to elect judges,
right,
or whether we're going to go with the new version of the modified Missouri plan. In a recent poll that was taken by Las Vegas Review Journal, the public still didn't seem to be very much in favor of this.
Now, that's correct, and there's no doubt that those of us who agree with this approach have their work cut out for them. First thing, I can give you a scoop here today. Yesterday at Elko, my Board of Governors voted to support what's now ballot question one, which was the old SJR 2, the merit selection of judges. And I think a majority of our members support this, and I think they'll be working hard to try to raise some money for advertising and try to get the word out why we think it's a good idea. But we definitely have an uphill battle.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, to just step back, yeah, the reality is that the first people that judges come to raise funds are lawyers. And every
right.
time a lawyer or a judge runs unopposed, there's a collective sigh of relief heard in the ether from all the law firms going, great, we don't have to contribute to that one.
Right.
So Isn't there a certain bias there towards this plan, just from a financial point
of view? Well, sort of a self-interest point of view.
I
can't argue with that. And in fact, you know, there was a rule change a couple years ago that prohibited judges from raising money until after the time for filing happened. And that was exactly, you know, to bring that about. So, because you used to have people that, you know, didn't have any challengers yet, but had filed, and they or hadn't filed yet, and they'd start raising money even if they didn't know they had a challenger. But let me say this. I think the more important thing is to try and get that appearance of money influencing the courtroom out of the picture.
As you're probably aware, in Missouri, they just fought a major battle over this very issue, what's called merit selection versus electing judges. And the argument, of course, for people who wanted to dump the Missouri plan is that the process, the appointment process, is in fact dominated by lawyers.
Right.
Now, the undercurrent in this argument, there's a political undercurrent, which is that there's a historic association between trial lawyers and Democratic politics. And that stacks the process as well. What's up with this argument?
There are a couple things in your question there. First of all, you know, the trial lawyers, as you call them, and we have an organization in the state called the Nevada Justice Association, which
I didn't call them that.
Well, okay, whoever. In your question. You know, that's one group of lawyers, usually the plaintiff's lawyers, and, you know, they, you know, argue for the individual, usually against insurance companies and corporations, and that's where you get that political slant, as in your question. But the Nevada Bar Association also includes the lawyers that represent those insurance companies, and all it includes all lawyers in the state, and we very much try to present a balanced view on things. We don't have an agenda. But the second part of your question, I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
Well, there's the proponents of this ballot initiative, which would be
the good old boy network part of it,
to dump the Missouri plan, and feel that the process is dominated nonetheless by attorneys.
I think like if you look to Arizona, which I think is going to be a model for how we implement this if it's passed, everything's done out in the public. The applications go on the website. Public comment is encouraged. It's not going to be a backroom deal type of thing. There is significant representation by non-attorneys on the selection committees. And, of course, the governor has the final say. But can I just say one other thing on that? You know, everyone's going to focus on the selection part. But in my view, it's the retention part that really gives the voters power here. Under our system as it exists today, if a lawyer doesn't get a challenger, a judge doesn't get a challenger, then there's no election at all. The voters have no voice whatsoever on whether that judge stays or goes. Under this new system, every judge has to stand for approval by the voters every 6 years. To me, that gives a lot more power to the voters.
But that's a very long term. I mean, currently, judges are serving 4 years.
No, 6 years.
6 years?
For district court and Supreme Court, yes.
Oh, it is 6 years.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
I take that back.
It doesn't change the term, no.
But the fact that the governor is the one that does the appointing in the final, doesn't that make it inherently political anyway?
Well, yeah, there has to be a certain amount of political process if you're going to have, you know, the three branches of government operating here. But I think there is some power back to the panel. If you review SJR 2, you'll see that the panel sends up three, and the governor has 30 days to make a choice. And if he doesn't make a choice, and during that time he can't appoint anybody else, you know, so I mean, it really kind of hamstrings him. If he can reject those three, then he sends it back. The panel can send three more. He must pick one of those three. Okay. So, I mean, it's not like he has the final say and he can, you know, do like what the president does, like a pocket veto or a pocket appointment or all that. You know, it tries to balance some control back to the appointment panel.
Okay, let's take a break. More with the president of the State Bar Association of Nevada right after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Senior homeowners have been feeling anxious about money lately. The good news is that you can do something about it now with Home Equity Release. Stop the worry and stay in your home. Find out how much money you can receive every month with a reverse mortgage.
I'm just one of 500,000 seniors that sleeps better at night.
It's true. A government-backed reverse mortgage stops the concern about money and keeps you self-reliant.
After Phil died, my Home Equity Release covered missing Social Security payments and kept me safely in our house. Maybe you should re-examine this government-insured program, too.
Be smart enough to look for yourself. Receive our new information kit when you qualify. Only Comfortable Retirement offers home equity release, the new reverse mortgage program designed for active seniors.
Lock in the cash value of your biggest asset and maintain your independence.
After all your hard work, you're entitled to a comfortable retirement and never having a mortgage payment again.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Cam Fehrenbach. He's the president of the Nevada State Bar Association.
And we were discussing the so-called modified Missouri plan, which is, the Missouri plan itself has been debated hotly in Missouri over the last few months. Here's an op-ed piece from the St. Louis Beacon by two law professors. In states with judicial elections, judges tend to respond to popular opinion in precisely the way we don't want them to, meaning that they have their donors in mind or the electorate in mind when they're performing their work.
Right.
We hear that in support of this plan.
Right.
Are you aware of specific instances in which judges in Nevada perform their work with the electorate in mind or with campaign contributions in mind?
Well, no. I think someone is speaking theoretically. But, you know, it's funny. I'm glad you asked that. The other day I read in the San Francisco Chronicle, how can one judge invalidate the vote of 7 million people? And a prominent politician commented, the third branch of government is undoing the will of the people. I mean, these are arguments that are being made to the public by our leaders, and it shows a complete lack of understanding of what judges are supposed to do. Judges are not there to do the will of the people, yet they're being excoriated for failing to do the will of the people. So, you know, I think, you know, there is a problem that the judges face if they're elected. And we have a twofold requirement. One, we need civic education so that our public cannot be misled by these kind of arguments. And that's a top priority of the ABA this year. Sandra Day O'Connor has a website going on this. That's one part of this program. The other part is a merit selection where decisions are made on facts. You know, the facts of how somebody is doing in office, not how much money they can raise, what slick ads they can put on TV.
Okay, but now are you going to be able to have or is the state going to provide the funding to be able to get this information out to the public? Because I know that a day or two before the election or on election day itself, I get phone calls from people saying, okay, I know I'm going to vote for this person, but now I'm down to the judges and I have no clue who any of these people are.
Right. Yes, and that's right in the amendment. If you review SJR 2, it's the Judicial Performance Commission is also created. And you know, with our improvements in technology and the Supreme Court through the Administrative Office of Court has been trying to get data collection, which lawyers are actually in the judge's courtroom, which litigants are there, which jurors serve there. And then those people will be polled, the ones that actually saw the judge working. Not what we do now where lawyers have a general impression about who's good or who's bad, but to actually try to get some hard data, collect that, and then this commission will publish a report. I can't remember, it's like 6 weeks before the election, and rate all the judges based on this objective criteria. Now, I got to tell you, you know, that's a pretty tall order to try to pull off. But I think if this gets passed, certainly the Bar Association will do its best to make sure that that's done in the most fair way to the judges and to get the most information to the public.
And, you know, would you agree that the public actually tends to vote against judges rather than for them? Because you're talking about retention elections, and I'm thinking exactly what you're thinking. People don't know these judges unless they come to the fore through some negative publicity or news stories in which they made a decision that people don't like. So retention is kind of a nebulous thing.
Well, you know, I don't know if people tend to vote against judges because actually it's very difficult to beat an incumbent judge. I mean, historically.
But my point is rather than voting to retain, the only way a person might actually vote in a judicial election, it's because a lot of people skip them, as you know. They skip those candidates.
Because they don't know. They don't have the facts.
Is if they have a negative impression.
Right. Well, but the vote is retain yes or no. So, and then there is the 55% retention rate. And there are, I mean, not all the judges think this is a great idea because, you know, nobody, it's pretty iffy. Can you get 55% of the vote when you're a sitting judge? I mean, there are a lot of interesting issues here.
Let me bring up another topic that was raised in that poll, which is the idea of an appellate court that has been talked about forever in the state.
Right.
And I was surprised to see the public was more in favor of that, but that comes at a great cost to, at a time when the state has no money.
Right. You know, I was surprised by that poll, too, and I guess I can say also the state bar supports the appellate court. We voted on that yesterday, too, the Board of Governors. But, you know, I think as Justice Perigary spoke at our annual meeting, and he pointed out that the funding of that, there'll be no new physical plant costs. In other words, they're going to use the same courtrooms and all this. There will be some, you have to pay for, you know, some judges and staff, but it'll take the workload off the Supreme Court so they can get through to do their job. They don't, they're so swamped by handling just sort of the routine, affirm, deny, yes, that evidence ruling was right, wrong, whatever, that they don't have time to really give us guidance by precedent in the important issues that are evolving. So, you know, I was thrilled that the public think that's a good idea, and I certainly think so, too.
The Supreme Court is burdened with things that they shouldn't be burdened with, and I know that from having taken a legal research class in which I had to look up cases and found out that they were hearing drunk driving cases in which they had to declare that the word "and" is conjunctive. And
right. Yeah. No. It's true.
It's trivial.
You know, when the state was smaller, and it's the same thing with the election of judges. When the state was smaller, election of judges worked great. I mean, people really knew who the lawyers were in their communities and who they thought would be a good judge or not. Same way with the Supreme Court. When the state was smaller, we had 3, then 5 Supreme Court justices. They could handle everything. We have to give people time to do their job.
And that's where we have to leave it. Oh. Just one note is that Sandra Day O'Connor will be appearing on this program in the very near future to talk about merit selection. She's
wonderful.
Been leading the charge on this. So
right.
We thank you very much for coming in. We look forward to having you back.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, the former Speaker of the Assembly, Bob Barengo, is here, and Scott Bensing, principal with SB Strategic. Pleasure to have both of you on the program. Let's start out with it's primary day in a lot of places around the country. Probably the biggest spotlight is on the John McCain, J.D. Hayworth race. What are your thoughts about this at this point?
Well, my thoughts were initially that it was going to be, given the emergence of the Tea Party and having been in the House of Representatives as a staffer when Congressman Hayworth was there. He's a flamboyant figure.
Oh, yeah.
And he came out of the chutes gunning, and someone just said, I think this morning I read, that his best day was the day he announced.
Mm-hmm.
He's had trouble kind of getting momentum, and you know, you certainly can make the case that the once maverick John McCain is no longer.
Yeah, really. What a change.
Yes, he's
back home. He's taking care of Arizona issues, and the polls show him way up, barring something that we don't know happening. He'll be reelected.
And the money about 10 to 1
yes,
in his favor.
Big time.
All right. So, and it's interesting the way that John McCain has morphed. I'm not a maverick anymore, or I've never been a maverick. I mean, what's that all about? Is it just that if you have enough money, you can change whoever you are in whatever way you want to change yourself?
Well, I think he got religion. I think he, there's an article recently in the last couple of days in the paper where some constituent, when he was campaigning for presidency, he said, you know, I like you, I always liked you, but I can't trust you anymore. And I think from that point on, he's starting to think about who he was and trying to come back to where he should be.
And how does that play out in real life? I mean, if he gets reelected, how do you go back to Washington? Are you now the new person you've become, or do you go back to being the old person you were?
Well, I guess you say that in a tone that suggests that he'll be the first one to ever do it. And people
no,
won't know how to respond
to
it. Oh, he'll be fine. You know, the immigration piece was the most significant for me. I remember how... you know, he came out very much in front and took some very controversial positions, certainly for Arizona. And it always seemed to me that that was something that kind of came from his heart, because there was really very little political advantage in my mind to doing it. And now he stepped back from a number of those positions and is actually, you know, he is the one of the rallying cries for the Arizona state law. So he'll be, as long as he gets back, he'll be just fine and be treated well. And we'll see. I mean, I'd like to see him remain a little more conservative.
Well, you know, it was interesting because, you know, as far as that immigration stand, you had President Bush, you had Harry Reid, and you had John McCain. If there was an opportunity to get it done, you'd have thought that that was the opportunity, but the people who are against it, which is so strong.
It didn't get done, but also the situation in Arizona is horrible. I have friends who are longtime ranchers down that border, and what they tell me is unbelievable.
Oh, and it is. You know, I was down there 4 years ago when Dawn Gibbons went down there when she was running for Congress, and I was at a military contractor's place, and it was interesting to watch the video they had where you'd have two border guards and you'd have 100 people rushing at them. They would grab 2, 3, 4 people, but 96 got through, and then they would be walking through the towns in that border area, and the hospital services were having problems. I mean, you know, obviously there are huge problems.
And there's a federal wilderness area that goes from the border north. The federal government has closed it and posted a sign saying this is dangerous because of immigration and drugs and other things there. I mean, that's incredible.
You know, it's interesting, though, just to keep on this immigration train for a while. What is really the acceptable level for illegal immigration in this country? I mean, is it 1,000 people coming in a year illegally is acceptable? Is it one person coming in a year acceptable? Is it zero? Because the cost of being able to do that would be beyond the pale.
To get it down to zero would be, and it's not feasible. We're clearly not there, and I hope, I guess we're heading in the right direction. I think a piece of it is, part of it has to do with our legal immigration policy. I mean, there are, and it's a very difficult discussion right now with unemployment as high as it is, but we're going to come to a point before too long where there are people, immigrants, that we want to come here. We want to emigrate here. So we need to expand a lot of those roles. In the past, the H-2C visas, I believe, were the ones given to a lot of high-tech workers. And they were, we'd give them all out by March. There were no more. We had a lot of high-tech companies who couldn't get any more skilled workers from out of the country. So I think that's a piece of it as well. But it's not just the illegal immigration. It's the violence. It's the drug smuggling, and this stuff doesn't just, I mean, these aren't a bunch of folks who decide one day they're going to get up and cross the border. This is very, almost like military precision.
Yeah.
They're watching us from the other side to determine when our defenses are down. They know the activity of our border patrol better than we do. Because they've studied it, and there's a profit to getting people over the border.
And, you know, in reality, no matter how much you clamp down on this, people are still going to be digging tunnels. People are going to still be coming in and overstaying visas. I mean, you can never really get rid of it. So it does make sense to have, you know, a smarter immigration policy now.
Smart immigration policy. I think what the American public would like to have is a policy that somewhat tracks somebody, and that you do, people come in on the work visas, they go home, you know, and those kind of things. We need them in California to work migrant workers. But it's gotten out of hand. No one has any trust in it anymore. On the drug side, they have so much money. I mean, they have submarines we don't even know about coming through. There's just so much in that. It's all our fault, really.
Lindsey Graham says 2012 before they even pick up the immigration bill again.
Oh, it's toxic right now. And the toxic piece of it is the pathway to citizenship, and it's something I never understood. I think 90% of the immigration, comprehensive immigration reform can be accomplished without a pathway to citizenship. That's where everybody gets their hackles up. And the reality is, a lot of these folks, the migrant workers you talk about, don't want to be citizens because they go back to their families in the off year. So we, there's a group pushing the citizenship that I think is primarily responsible for this thing just being, it's a hot flash. It's too hot to touch right now.
A hot flash, okay, that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
That's a very good point.
On the next Face-to-Face, we'll hear from the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Virginia Governor Tim Kaine. What are the party's prospects for retaining control of the House? We'll ask him about that and more on the next Face-to-Face.
Oxygen users, regain your freedom. Optimal Air invites you to breathe in the latest in portable oxygen concentrators. The XPO2 and Solo2 oxygen systems are available to get you back to freedom. They're small, lightweight, and quiet. They're battery operated, so you can take them anywhere. Whether you're at home or on the go, you'll have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. The days of troublesome heavy tanks and wasting hours waiting for deliveries are over. Now, you can simply make your own oxygen. You can plug them into a car's accessory plug and travel without the worry. Find out how you can get this at little or no cost. Give us a call today and get back to freedom.
South Laredo, there's a place so hot, rattlesnakes combust. But we go, because you gotta eat bold.
Subway Fiery Footlong Subs. The boldacious new turkey jalapeno melt and buffalo chicken. Subway, eat bold.
The odds of this daughter of a clergyman spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On our next broadcast, Congressman Dean Heller. We'll see you then.